And he did it so nicely, you know, not, did we pray? No. Okay, David, would you lead us in word of prayer? Amen. Well, we're coming to the close of Philippians chapter 4. We're on page number 20. We did 11, 12, 13. We didn't go over those passages. I'm hoping you went over those passages at home. I'm sure, hopefully, most of you did. But when it talks about I can do all things through Christ, just kind of quickly summarize this. What is that talking about? Anybody? There's no one right answer. What do you, when you read, I can do all things through Christ, what does that tell you?
That you got somebody behind you that can carry you through.
Okay. Got somebody behind you, as David said, that can carry you through. Would we agree with David's comment?
Yes.
Now, how is the Lord going to carry us through? I agree with David, but now how is the Lord going to carry us through? He's given us the message, so it helps us to make the right decisions. Daryl?
God doesn't ask us, ask anything out of us that he hasn't supplied us with the means of accomplishing. God doesn't ask me to do something that I am not capable of doing with his help. And his help comes through study and prayer and spending time in his word. But the all things do, it's everything that God wants me to do.
And the thing is we have to stay focused to him. That's that. That's the problem. Yes, go ahead, David, and back.
I think you made a good point last week when that verse in the fact that some people might look at that and say, oh, I can bench press 500 pounds because Christ is going to help me do it. But that's not like Daryl said, that it's true.
That's absolutely not what, and again, some people who are very zealous religiously but not very much knowledge kind of misuse passages like that. And I've met some people like that, and it's really sad. Daryl.
Just to say, in following up on that, if somewhere in the scriptures it said Christians are to bench 500 pounds, we could all bench 500 pounds.
Well, I haven't found that passage yet. That's exactly right, including the circumstances that we are faced with. We're not always going to be faced with good circumstances. Even if we do right, live right, sometimes we have bad circumstances. Do we agree on that?
Amen.
So again, you have to stay focused to Christ. It's easy, or easier, being a Christian when things are going smooth. Would you agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, things don't always go smooth. Whether it be family illness, whether it be family problems, whether it be work-related problems. I mean, I can cross the gamut that there are going to be things that are going to cause difficulties. And then I go to this passage, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, Joe, look who's here tonight. All right. So we're glad to see that this evening. So I guess that fills the concept of I can do all things through Christ. Anybody else on that passage before we move on? I promised I would get through this tonight to my own mind. So next week we can start Thessalonians. Let's move on then. Verses 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. I take all those together. Again, Sometimes I read them, sometimes I don't. I'm assuming you've read it at home numerous times. That's all focusing upon his receiving physical benefits from the church, correct? We all agree on that? And he's very grateful for that. I am sure, I know for myself, I can speak, I appreciate the funds the church gives me so that I can do various things with those funds. I appreciate that. A laborer's worthy is higher, and you have surely helped me in that great extent. I'm sure the brethren we help are grateful for that. So again, it's a situation that he's looking at the gift, but it's to their account. His work also ascribed to them because they are helped financially in supporting him, correct? And I am not going to go into detail tonight. I don't think you wanted it, and if you did, this is the wrong class. I'm not going to in detail as to the amount of finances because each case is unique in and of itself. I will say this one thing. When I first started preaching, I talked to a very small congregation in Minnesota near Rochester. What's in Rochester? Mayo Clinic and a whole lot of other medical facilities. This congregation was the size of 7 people. I couldn't raise the support to go to Rochester because it was a very expensive place to live. And so I'm just trying to say that's why each case is individually. There's not like a union, a pay scale. It's a situation that's determined by each congregation. I will say this much. I am very grateful for the brethren here for the support you extend to me. I'm very grateful for that. And I'm very grateful we can help other preachers. And like I think it was Daryl and even the elders, they look ahead so they're not going to be cut off within a month. Nobody's, and that's a good thing. So he's very appreciative of their financial giving. Anybody else want to comment on that before I move on to the next point? Let's go to page number 21. Page number 21. I'd give a book of Philippians back there, but I don't have any more. I'm out of Philippians, so. All right, on page number 21, I love verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay. Christians of the first century have it easy or rough? Did God supply their need? Absolutely. What shouldn't we confuse need with? Wants. Our wants aren't not necessarily our needs. And we tend to think of that sometimes, do we not? For instance, I have a Keurig coffee maker because I like one cup at a time, and it's nice and fresh. And it's given me difficulty sometimes. Suppose I am so financially strained that I can't own a Keurig. That's not a need. That's a what? That's a want. Even though to me it's a need when I get up because I want my cup of coffee, but it's a want. Microwaves, want. TV set, want. Cable TV, want. So what I'm trying to say is there's been times people have been needing to be helped, and again, we have biblical example of helping our brethren when they're in need. It does not mean it's going to maintain the lifestyle that they've come accustomed to. If they're in dire need, the first thing they need to start doing is, what are some of the wants I can do away with to help fulfill those needs? Does that make sense to everybody? I'm not trying to be mean, but does that make sense? And so we had a case in Illinois. They had 3 cars, cable, whole host of other things. And they were a member. Brethren helped them. And finally, it was suggested to them, someone needs to sit down with them and start making some changes. How do you think that went over? You got it. Didn't go over well at all because they thought we were intruding into their life. And we were not trying to intrude in their life, but since they were in those situations, they've got to make some changes. I'm not saying that they'll, a faithful child of God won't be destitute, but you may not be in the comfortable lifestyle that you're in right now. I consider myself in a very comfortable lifestyle. There's a lot of things we could give up if tragedy came our way. We could give up, listen carefully, I want this on record, we could give up my wife's car. See, I don't have... But will God be there to provide for us with our brethren and with us doing our part? Last point on that. And I say, I'll get you, Daryl, I didn't see your hand up. I believe God provided Stephen's need as he's being put to death. He had the strength to look to the big picture. Go on. Yeah.
Is food. Do we need sustenance? Yeah, we do. But I don't have to have T-bone steak. Now, don't take me wrong. I'm going to take one if I can get it. But we have brethren all over this world that live on rice and beans and consider themselves lucky.
Right.
And I'm not saying that we all need to put ourselves in that position, but we need to recognize that even things that we see as needs, there's a lot of want involved in that.
And I will just say this and move on. My mom did a good job of providing my needs that as two children, we never recognized that we had needs because there was always food on the table. Now, it wasn't necessarily what I liked, but there was always food on the table. There was always shelter. There was always protection. And so the needs were met and beyond. I had a wonderful childhood. I'm not saying that poor Chuck. I'm just saying I had a wonderful mom. And I think parents are like that. Our kids grow up not worrying. Natalie, love little Natalie. Does she worry whether or not her parents are going to pay the next mortgage payment? Where she's going to get the next food? No. Well, if parents will take care of their physical kids, will God the Father take care of us if we just do our part? Last point, and then we'll move on. Yes, David.
Jesus, I think, said best in Matthew 6:33 when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. And they've been worrying about whether he's going to get food and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. And that's very important. And we live in a country, and if you have prepared for retirement, that's a good thing. You've not done anything sinful. I mean, that's taken forethought if you're able to do that. And some of us are in better situations than others. But what I do try to tell all my brethren, including myself, you can't get too preoccupied in that because it's going to drive you nuts. In other words, when they tell me how much money I'm to have till I'm 90 or 85, I don't have that kind of money. But you know what? I'm not dirt poor. You just take it and make wise decisions and do with what you have. You don't look and say, well, I need to have this amount of money. Well, don't worry. First of all, you might not make it 10 years. I don't mean to be rude, but that's a possibility. We've had relatives years gone by that died a couple months after they retired. And you know, that's a sad. And then my first concern is, oh, yeah, who gets all that Social Security? Well, the government keeps. I'm not saying you can't take forethought. Don't misunderstand me. It's good to take forethought. If you're capable, make wise investments in whatever you want to invest. I am not touching that with a 10-foot pole. But I've seen some of my brethren just agonize whether they're going to have enough once they retired. Well, they might not. They might have more. They might have not enough to keep them in their standard of living, but that sometimes you can downsize. You know, there's something like that. Maybe you don't have to take 5 trips a year. You know, there's situations like that. Now, if you can, you've not done anything sinful. I don't want to go to the other extreme that you got to be dirt poor to be righteous. If you've made the right decisions and can do those things, amen. And you stay faithful, amen. But that shouldn't be your primary. You ended up with the best one, David. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All right, let's go into the questions. What instruction was given concerning Euodia and Syntyche? I heard it. Be of the same mind. So we don't know what divided them, but it appears they could come together. In fact, he's going to have somebody else help them come together. Be of the same mind in the Lord. What happens if you have a congregation of people that are not of the same mind? You got conflict. You got split. I illustrate, and again, I don't know what their problem was, but let's go to Corinth. They weren't of the same mind on many things. For instance, they weren't even of the same mind on the end, because they had preacheritis. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Were Paul, Apollos, Cephas, and Christ teaching the truth? All four of them. But they caused division because they got caught up to the personality instead of the message being taught. Does that make sense? So again, now I don't know what their problem was. All I know, it could be resolved, but it's going to be resolved in the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Does that make sense to everybody?
Chuck, we had an incident many years ago in Plant City. A young couple came. They were sleeping in their car. They were Christians. We kind of all helped them. And over a period of time, his car broke down, and the Corvette, a little place to stay, I loaned him a truck. I was able to give him some food. You know, he got mad at me because I guess I shared what I had with him, and it made him mad. He was used to being poor with nothing. I said, I'm the last person you want to get mad at, and you're driving my truck, and I'm giving you my food. I suggest you just learn to deal with it. Don't get mad at me. I'm sharing what I have for you. We remained friends, but we had to go through a call. He was mad. He wanted to fight me over it.
Well,
I said, you don't want to bother me when I'm just driving my vehicle and eating my food. But he finally got over it, and they moved back to Arkansas. But that was the case. I've never had a friend do me like that right there when I try to help him. I mean, I loaned him the truck that I drove to work, my only truck, and I loaned it to him. And he had it for quite a few days and gave him a lot of food.
And I don't have the answer to that.
No.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point, though. You do have situations. That'll go in one of my sermons I'm working on being long-suffering. That's a hard thing to do with some people. All right. Let's look at question two. Give some examples as to why the Christian can rejoice in the Lord always. Of course, that's taken Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why?
Hope of heaven.
Hope of heaven. Top priority. You're going to have heaven hereafter. Why else? Sins forgiven. Relationship with Christ. It's all spiritual focused, not necessarily physically focused. Because if it was physically focused, that'd be kind of silly to be happy to being put to death. You're happy that you can win over death. I don't think Stephen was happy as he was being put to death, but he's happy knowing his relationship with God and where he's going. He didn't submit. So again, are you following? And the same is true today. That means even in the worst of circumstances, you can have that joy. Those of us that have children and grandchildren, do we pray for them? Do they cause us anxiousness sometimes? And the point is, we still got to think about them, but we've got to think of the big picture. The big picture, we do what we can. We set the example that we can. We pray for them. And then we need to remember a couple of things. Philippians 2, it says, work out what? Your own salvation. I cannot work it out for anybody else. I used to tell my kids that when they were little, that when they grew up, I can't work out your salvation. You have to work out yours. I'll be praying for you like I want you to pray for me, but you got to work out your own salvation. If they don't, God forbid, so far they have, but if they don't, it's going to cause me a great disappointment, severe disappointment. But I can't allow that disappointment to overtake my joy in Christ. You see, so it's easier said than done. You know, it's easier said when things are going nice and smooth. But there's probably, I think I can safely say, and I might be wrong, in our big picture of our families, I'm sure all of us to some degree have some dysfunctional families. And we're not going to go into specifics, no illustrations of that. But I've got to focus to the big picture, deal with whatever that dysfunction is to the best of our ability, but don't forget the big picture. The same thing in the family of God. Are there some rascals in the church? Absolutely. I can't allow that to make me bitter against the church. You know, because that's anywhere you go. That's anywhere you go. Now, fortunately, I don't see that here at this time, but it could happen. You know, I've got to look at the big picture. Some will say, well, there's problems in the church. That's exactly right, because what are we? Human beings. And we falter, correct? And we have to get back up. But the big picture, I'm with some of the best people that ever walked the face of the earth. Right? And that's what I have to remember. I have to remember the big picture. You know, I've worked with 5 different congregations. All of them were good congregations. All of them had some unique situations. All of them. I've got 1 or 2 choices. I can focus and refocus on the difficulty, or I can focus on the wonderful experiences I've had with those people. It's all what you want to do. You hear parents, they hate being parents because they're having trouble. Right? Well, guaranteed, there's some precious times there. You've just allowed what? The bad times to override the precious times, right? So again, we've got to rejoice. And again, if we don't rejoice in the Lord, we're not going to reach anybody. You can quote them book, chapter, and verse. But if you're running around, and I use the Disney character Eeyore, what do we remember about Eeyore? Oh, is woe is me, correct? If you're going through life, woe is me, forget about reaching anybody because you've got nothing to give them. Does that, anybody else want to comment on question 2? Gives us the guide for living. I like that. Because sometimes, whether we're just in a difficult situation or we put ourselves in a difficult situation, thank goodness we've got that guide to get us through those circumstances. I've had both. My wife and I have been in situations that were difficult that we didn't put ourselves in. Unfortunately for Susan, she's been with me when I've put us in difficult situations. And we're not going to go specific. We're going to leave it at that. But like you said, thank goodness for that guide. Boy, that's where Proverbs comes in, Psalms comes in, Job comes in. Those books just lighten up in those times, you know, because especially when I look at my foolishness that caused some or 1 or 2 of those situations. And I'm grateful to God because we're get out of them. You know, it just sometimes we don't think we will. But you stay the course, and you're going to get... Would that be true just about for everybody? Yeah. Thank goodness for that. And see, that's what the person of the world doesn't have. You see, the person of the world are looking to have an emotional high, that bubble high, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I'm going to tell you what, that's impossible. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, that is impossible. Those of us that are older, would you agree with me?
Amen.
You're not going to be on the emotional high all the time. I tell that to babes in Christ. You're excited. You should be. You've just become a Christian. That's wonderful. You're going to have ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Daryl, I thought you had your hand up. I didn't. Okay. And I'm glad you brought that up. If you have physical pain, there's not a single passage, I have not found it in my years of studying, a single passage to rejoice simply because you have physical pain. If your body's falling apart, there's not a single passage that you ought to be happy because your body's falling apart. I've not found that passage. So I'm glad Daryl brought that up. But we can overcome those adverse situations looking at the big picture and looking at God's Word. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on to question number four. No, I'm sorry, question number three. What is to be known to all men? Gentleness. And the gentleness here is, I like the English Standard Version, reasonableness, or if you have the New American Standard, gentle spirit. Do we have that reasonableness and gentle spirit in our society today? So we're going against the stream. The stream is, it's my way or the highway. And if you're not going to do that, then it might makes right. Would you agree that's kind of the mindset of society? Now, the Christian is gentleness, reasonableness, taking a step back and not always demanding. I used to do this with my grandkids. Now, I know it's not talking about this, but teaching them, and I was their driver's ed teacher. Don't ask me why I was, but that's... Anyhow, we'd come to a stop sign. I always would tell them, even though you have the right, if someone's going to go, you just wait. Even though you have the right and another car's coming, you still might want to wait because they might not pay attention to that stop sign. Well, it's my right. Doesn't matter. It's your right. That doesn't take away from the car accident, correct? So it's just, now I know that's not the same you can take, but the point is, I believe it teaches the lesson, just because you're right doesn't mean you have to demand, it's my turn. Correct? And the same thing too is spiritually. You know, I look at Corinth. Corinth had some good Christians, they had a lot of difficulties. But they lived like we do today as a society. I want to get my way. I want to speak in tongues. I want this. I want that. I want this. And in the meantime, what's happening to the church? It is literally falling apart. Now, it didn't, thank goodness, but that's what's happening. So, I can't emphasize enough how lucky we are to have elders. Because for many years, I sat in business meetings when you didn't have elders. Now, when you don't have elders, that's basically the only way you can conduct moving forward. But the problem with that, you have a whole different gamut of people and different values of knowledge and different dispositions. And one of the things sometimes lacking in some of those business meetings is reasonableness, gentleness, because it's almost a pecking order for some. And that... Now, again, I work with good congregations, and generally we had a good time, but I see why God's way works the best. You get godly men who are in charge, and they get others involved, and they make the final decision. Because if you don't, you have just mass hysteria. I mean, it goes from the simple to the greatest. You know, even if you do something simple and you've got 14 different opinions, someone's got to give in. Now, we're not talking about doctrine now. We're talking about you got different opinions, someone's got to give in. And if you don't have any reasonableness, if you don't have any gentleness, guess what? You have chaos. Now, that doesn't mean one person always has to get their way. The Bible deals with people like that. But the point is, as a preacher, I don't always have to get my way. Oh, you know what I found out in the business meeting? I would plant an idea in someone else. I'm telling you this because we have elders now. I don't have to do that. Plant an idea in someone else's mind. Let them bring it up. And it worked just fine. Because it wasn't coming from me. It was coming from someone else. I mean, I wasn't trying to manipulate them. I guess in a sense I was. But I was trying to do it so that I didn't want them to think that, quote, the preacher's running the show. Because he's not. We're not in the denominational world. The preacher's not the pastor. So it just, but gentleness. Think about how gentleness would be in the family situation, husbands and wives. You know. Well, she's to obey me. True or false? But what am I failing to understand? I'm to love her like Christ loved the church. That's a big order. Oh, and I'm supposed to, 1 Peter, dwell with my wife with knowledge and, you know, have a respect for her. You know, I used to get so upset. I had a good brother. I loved him dearly, but he'd just make me cringe. He said, Brother Cousins, I told my wife 35 years ago I loved her. If I change my mind, I'll let her know. How's that going to work for women? It's not good. And you say he was kidding. No, he was not kidding. He just had an adorable wife that dealt with it. But it just, him and I would talk about that. And he just never got the point that, you know, women are different than men. Not only physically, but emotionally. You know, that's why I told Susan, I can't watch much TV anymore. Because they have no men's shows. I got to go back and look at reruns of Gunsmoke or something. Because they always have a slint from focus from some kind of emotional stance. And it's not wrong for men to have emotion, but men and women are different. So you got to have gentleness. Likewise, the wife with the husband. You see how that all works? Now, I think if we do that as a rule, is society going to see that? Yeah. Anybody else? All right, let's look at the next question, number 4. How is prayer and peace used in this chapter? What verses? Okay, verses 6 and 7, correct? It starts out with prayer, right? Casting all your cares upon him, right? And then you have the peace. Question. The peace is possible because we have a communication with our Father? And that's how I take it. That's why I don't think you can separate those verses. You know, sometimes people want to just take a verse. And sometimes that works, but this time in my mind it doesn't work. Did you have something, Daryl? I don't know if you had your hand up or you did. Yeah, the prayer. Because the relation... It is mind-boggling to me that the one who created this world will even take the time to listen to my prayers. I'm just one little speck in the big, big, big picture. But he cares about me. I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. You know, we get enamored with computers. Forget computers. Get enamored with God. Get enamored with God who brought all this into being. Get enamored with his son. Get enamored that we get to have a relationship with them. You know, I can't go to people well known today and expect them to listen to me, but I can go to the creator of heaven and earth and he's there to do what? To listen to me. That is just overwhelming to me. And I like it says, cast all your cares upon him. Even things that I think are little, he's willing to hear them. Because sometimes we just like to vent. Maybe I only like to vent. Does anyone else beside me like to vent? Okay. Well, then vent to God. And then if you got a good relationship with your spouse, vent to your spouse. But don't vent about your spouse. That's not a good thing. All right, let's look at the next one. Describe the sacrifice that was acceptable and well-pleasing according to the chapter. I want to see if you anybody had. What verse did you have? 18 is the right verse. If you had 4:18, you're at the right verse. And what was acceptable? Sacrifice of ourselves, and more specifically in this context, their assistance to Paul. That was acceptable and well-pleasing to God. So when that church was helping Paul, that was well-pleasing to God. Now, Daryl knows one person overseas. I'm sure some of the others, like Bob and that, know some of the other men overseas. But it's acceptable and well-pleasing to God that we are able to help them. And they should look, and they do recognize that, and we recognize that. So again, that we have the funds to do that. In fact, Daryl and Bob go overseas, and that's wonderful too. You know, I highly admire those men going overseas. I chose to be one who doesn't go overseas. I mean, I think I can do my work here, but I highly admire those men who go overseas. And those men who live overseas being supported while they're over there. You know, it's just an amazing thing. And this is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. So in our physical contribution, when the elders decide we can help somebody, are we fulfilling Philippians 4? Yeah, very good thing. So it never becomes a tedious thing to help others if we can do so. Never is. Anybody else on that? All right, we've got just a few minutes left. Question number 6. The things, okay, I have 8 things listed. You went back to Philippians 4:8, and we're going to just summarize it with one word, positive. All 8 of those things are positive, right? When it rains, it might affect our day, but aren't we thankful we get rain? When it's burning heat, I'm thankful because when I lived in Illinois, it would be icy cold. So again, it's all how you look at the perspective. How many of us like going to the dentist? No. If you do, there's something wrong with you. But we go to the dentist, you don't look for the benefit going to the dentist, you're looking for the benefit that the dentist is going to get. What I'm trying to say, it's all how you look at it. Daryl. A perfect example of that, and I got caught out of it myself, and luckily I got caught myself but the city is growing like crazy. I grew up here, I moved back here because I wanted to live in a relatively quiet place. Good point.
There's almost everything. You can dwell on the negative, but if you look forward, there's a positive there too.
That's a very good point. And just remember, I get upset when those Yankees come down too. Okay. Next week, we're going to go into the next book. So if you have any questions privately, I can go over that with you. So we didn't get 7 and 8. Thank you.